sailors and marines of the United Nations, a special rebroadcast with John Cotty, Harlow Wilcox, Frank Tours and his orchestra, Hanley Stafford as Daddy, Fanny Bryce as Baby Snook, and Frank Morgan.
A gay ranchero, a caballero, can always find someone to pet. A señorita, a sweet pepita, her other love will soon forget. If he's insistent and she's not distant, the señorita will confess. A gay ranchero, a caballero, need only ask and she'll say yes. Soon there'll be a fiesta with a blushing bride, and the gay ranchero standing by her side. If they find the promise that they have in store, they'll be counting little chicos by the score. A gay ranchero, a caballero, she'll tell the world of how they met. This gay ranchero, this caballero, says he has nothing to regret.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Don. What's on the agenda for tonight?
Well, Jersey, having yelled myself hoarse at the local Golden Gloves tournament recently, I thought it might be interesting to interview one of the boys. To be specific, he's a former Golden Gloves featherweight champion, Mr. Eddie Marcus.
Thanks, Johnny.
Eddie, tell me, what started you out as a slug-and-slap merchant, anyway?
Church is la femme, in other words, a dame.
Poor Eddie, did your wife beat you up, too?
I don't mean that, Mr. Tours. I mean, when I was around 17, I was forced to hang one on a guy who insulted the girl I was with.
Mm.
She was so impressed that she thought I had to make a career out of it. So I started in the fight game, won my first 18 fights, lost the 19th, and then won the next 49.
Oh, inconsistent, eh? Quiet, sure. Then what, Eddie, the Golden Gloves competition?
Right, yeah, that's right. And my first big opportunity, I won the Tri-City matches between Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, and then went to Boston and KO'd the Eastern and Western champs, and after that I was Golden Gloves featherweight champion.
Well, it sounds very easy the way you tell it. What's on your schedule for the future, Eddie?
Well, I'm a professional now, and I've got my eye on a match with the number one boy.
I see.
I'd like to be champion of the world, or what there's left of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're off to a flying start, certainly. What's your recipe for success in the ring, Eddie?
Oh, I guess, John, a stiff left jab's about as good as any. I've worked plenty on that. And believe me, in a tough scrap where it's nip and tuck all the way, I'm glad I've got that recipe for a hard punch.
So am I. Mix up a bat, we all have a quick one.
Greetings, my adult amigos. And is this the man with the recipe for the nip and tuck punch?
Nip and tuck?
Certainly. One nip and they tuck you away for the night. I was given my recipe by a lady barber in Cucamonga. You little shaver.
You're way off the beam, Punch Joe. I was talking to our guest, Eddie Marcus, about fighting.
Yes, I was telling the boys I'm looking for a fight.
Oh, so you're a troublemaker, eh, Marcus? Came in here with a chip on your shoulder, did you? Well, perhaps you haven't heard I'm a formidable adversary in a rough and tumble. For every punch you throw, I've got a better one. For every blow you attempt, I've got a blow.
Eddie is a Golden Glove champion.
Well, I don't... I got a blow.
Come back! Come on, Pancho. Eddie isn't going to take advantage of you.
Take advantage of the old master? This battle-scarred veteran of the Fistic War?
Pancho.
What?
Are you trying to tell us you were a boxer?
Well, that depends on whether you mean boxing, the art of attack and defense with padded gloves, fathered by Bruton in the 18th century, or pugilism, a professional sport dating from the Roman use of the caestus, with its Gaelic offshoots, le chausson and la savate.
Well, get him.
I myself was a pugilist, however, and I have a list of knockouts that'll amaze you.
You have?
Yes, I've...
Well, where's your list of knockouts? In the big record book in New York?
No, in my little black book in Hollywood.
You couldn't punch your way out of a wet paper bag.
I ignore you, Jockey. A pastime which ranks high on Hobby Lobby.
Thank you.
As I was saying, Eddie, before being interrupted with by this vacuum-packed Crosby, before you stands the man who knocked out Purple, the wild bull of the Pampas, in 2 rounds.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Morgan. Wait a minute. Louis Purple was KO'd by Jack Dempsey in New York, September 14th, 1923.
So the accepted version goes. But now that both participants have retired, I feel free to tell the true story of that classic encounter.
Huh?
Yes.
You mean that you... Oh, no!
See, but yes!
You dare to claim it was you who knocked out Furpo in 1923?
Oh, yeah. He's so sincere. Eddie, as a boxer, this story will astound you. Just pull up a rabbit punch and sit down. I am but one of many devotees of the squared circle stemming from the House of Morgan. From the halcyon days of my great-grandfather, Grass Jaw Morgan, down to my uncle Footwork. Bit of a heel. Pretty corny.
Was he heavyweight or middleweight, Mr. Morgan?
Both. His heavyweight was around the middle. Starting as an unknown, he rapidly became a complete non-entity.
Oh.
And retired after a long succession of hard-fought battles.
Why? Punching?
No, paunching. Springing from such a hardy stock, I was prenatally ordained to pugilism. I was tutored in the rudiments of the manly art by a distant cousin whose career in the ring had earned him the sobriquet Ace in the Hole Morgan.
Why'd they call him Ace in the Hole?
Well, he was always face down. In a short time, I was even more skilled than my mentor, so I embarked on my pugilistic career.
I
trained rigidly on a Spartan diet of raw spinach and soon was noted for my grit. After winning several close decisions, I was matched with one of the toughest heavyweights of the day, a plug ugly named Terrible Tommy. But my star was in the ascendant, and I won the bout on a TKP.
You mean a TKO, technical knockout?
No, I mean TKP. Tommy caught pneumonia. From this point on, my rise was rapid as I slugged my way toward the top. And after eliminating every contender, I signed to fight for the championship of the world. But on that very day, fate took a hand. I met Stephanie.
A woman?
I went on that assumption, yes. She was a ravishing bit of Cece, although a trifle muscle-bound. But she was a professional athlete like myself.
Fighter?
No, I didn't have to. She loved the neck, and I... As a matter of fact, jockey, she played on a girl's football team and was adept at intercepting passes.
Oh, I see.
We became engaged, but I knew that I'd have to get something off my chest before I married Stephanie.
What,
contestant? No, a tattooed heart with Mabel on it.
Oh.
In my mad infatuation for the girl, I made the fatal mistake others had made before me and spent my nights in riotous living instead of training for the big fight.
That's bad business, Mr. Morgan.
As I learned my style. On the day of the fight, I was a burned-out husk. Yet being the Morgan, I entered the ring to fight for the champion with a chip on my shoulder. Nearly more than a chip, a block.
Well, what happened?
He knocked my block off. Yes, my friends, I had tossed away my great opportunity for a woman. And like the jade she was, she left me. Scattered, I lost fight after fight until I became a shabby derelict of the prize ring. But one man had faith in me, Jack Dempsey.
Aha, now it's going to come out.
Jack, then champion of the world, as I could easily have been,
yes,
took me on as his sparring partner and trainer for the purple bout. We concentrated on road work and daily jogged 10 miles down the dusty road that led past a large girls' seminary.
Girls' seminary, huh?
Yes, and as we passed it on our daily round, Jack would always pick up a little speed, while I picked up a little blonde. In doing this, I capitalized on my amazing resemblance to Dempsey, as with my hair cut short and a stubble of beard, it was impossible to tell us apart. I was a little more muscular, of course.
Of course.
Even on the day of the fight, I posed as Dempsey, wearing his trunks and robe, to interview the press while he rested in another dressing room. Then the historic moment came. Round one. Dempsey leaped to the center of the ring, stalking his huge adversary like the tiger he was, as I watched breathlessly sitting on Jack's stool in his corner. A thudding exchange of blows, the crash of a falling body.
Purple was down?
No, I was down. I fell off the stool.
Round two.
Again, the Manassas Mauler lived up to his name, battering Purple with everything he had. Then, a careless moment, a relaxed guard, and Purple landed a sledgehammer blow, knocking Jack out of the ring. Consternation.
Pandemonium. Murder.
Jack fell almost at my feet, hitting his head on the floor. I sensed at once that my friend, my benefactor, he who had given me back my self-respect, was in dire straits. There was but one thing to do.
And naturally, you did it.
Yes.
What was it
that saved the name of Dempsey for posterity? I shoved him under the seat, leaped into the ring, and knocked Burpo out for the championship of the world.
Hey, Houston.
If you doubt me, I'll show you Dempsey's old trunk, the seat of which bears the inscription. Aisle 4.
Just a minute, the telephone, I'll get it. And don't go away, Morgan. Hello?
Huh?
Yes, he's here, and how?
Who's here?
Who?
Who is it?
Oh.
What?
It's for you, Frankie.
No, that was for me.
Jack Dempsey calling.
You take it,
Jockey.
I'm a little hoarse. Never mind the true confession, Sponge. Just get on the phone.
Phone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yes. Hello, Jackie. I'm sorry. Hello, Mr. Dempsey. Yes, Mr. Dempsey. No, Mr. Dempsey. Oh, yes, I, yeah, but no. Well, I didn't, Back a lie, falsification, perjury. What? Ooh, I black eyes. Breakneck ribs, mince meat. Yes, sir, I'll be there. Yes, goodbye.
Well, my prince of frauds, at last you've stuck your neck out far enough for someone to break it off.
On the contrary, Jockey, it was a friendly call. Jack's coming into town. He wants me to keep an evening free to play not rummy.
Not rummy?
Yes.
Then why are you shaking in your boots?
Well, I'm the rummy he's going to knock. Well, put on the...
John's song this evening is from the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, A Guy Named Joe. The title, I'll Get By. Frank Doors conducting. I'll get by as long as I have you.
everything. Do you hear what you are saying? Or is this a little game you're playing? My heart tells me I will cry again. Lips that kiss like yours
Why? because he's trying to ram something into your skull.
Is that what the horn is for?
Look, why do you aggravate me that way?
Is there another way?
We've got just about half a minute. If you can't remember your line, at least remember the character.
What character?
The character of the part you're playing. You're a little southern girl named Petunia.
Petunia?
No, Petunia.
Hmm, what's the difference?
You make it sound like a cuspidor.
How did it sound?
Southern, that's how. Southerners say you're and shown up. Now, try to mimic it.
Mimic?
Yes. You know what a mimic is, don't you?
Mm-hmm. A mimic is 60 seconds.
Oh. No. Mimic means imitate. Now, say these words after me. Jonah.
Jonah.
You all.
You all.
Would you all care for a mint julep?
Jonah.
Well, that isn't so bad. Why can't you do that on the set?
I don't know. I get scared.
Scared of what?
The man with the horn.
Forget that nonsense. I'll just try your lines with me. I'll teach you.
I'm hungry.
Oh. Not food. I'm going to feed you your lines. What's the matter?
Now you're going to feed me to the lion.
No such luck. Look. We'll take another crack at that test. Maybe you'll have a brainstorm.
What's a brainstorm, Daddy?
A brainstorm is what I had when I brought you out here.
Ready, Mr. Higgins?
Oh, yes. I think she knows the lines this time. All right, look. Get out there and kill him.
How can I kill him? He's going to shoot me first.
Go ahead.
Okay, roll it. Higgins test, take 250. Ready? Action.
Call your father, little girl. We're heading across the hill to cut off Grant.
Then tarry a while. You all are.
Footsore and weary.
Footsore and sorry.
Oh, look, little girl, what's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Then why can't you remember a few words?
I got a stomachache.
Oh, you've got a stomachache. And where did you get that?
In my stomach.
Let me handle this.
You butt out. You've done enough handling for one day. Now listen. Look, it's very...
The Confederate soldier comes in and says we're heading across the hills to cut off Grant.
Harry Grant?
No, General Grant.
Who's he?
He was a Civil War general.
Why?
How do I know why? He was a Civil War general and the leader of the Union forces.
Who?
The man we've been talking about.
What?
General Grant!
Let me handle this.
Oh, shut up. Now, all you've got to get right, Snooks, are the words footsore and weary.
Footsore and weary.
No. Well, that's close enough. And try to make it sound like a little southern tale.
A little bit?
That's right.
Clank, clank, clank.
No, not that kind of a bell. A southern bell. You know how a southern bell talks, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, try it.
Clang, clang, you all.
Well, look, that's an understandable error. She's thinking of the Liberty Bell.
Exactly. The Liberty Bell is cracked and so is she. Look, listen, I'll try to paint the whole picture for you. Your father's an old man. He's upstairs, sick in bed. So weak he can hardly move. But under your tender care, he's getting well. Now, this soldier wants you to get up out of the sick bed and rush into battle. But you won't let him. But he insists. You refuse. What is it? Why do you keep laughing and crying?
Because he keeps stepping on my foot.
Oh, well, please, Mr. Partick, give her one more chance. She'll get it right this time, I promise.
Okay, we'll try one more. Roll him. Higgins test, take 251. Ready? Action. Two arms. Call your father, little girl. We're heading across.
the hills to cut off Grant.
Huh?
I said, call your father, little girl.
Franklin, you all. No good?
Well, what happened this time? What became of Footsore and Weary?
Maybe they went home.
Yep. That's not it. Take her away before I commit mayhem.
Why is that man jumping up and down, Dad?
Take her away, I say. She's a minute.
Just a minute. You can't talk about my child that way.
Oh, I can't, can I?
No, you can't.
Suck him, Daddy. He's on you, little guy.
Come along, you. We don't need this broken-down studio. There are plenty of others.
I want to go home to Mommy.
Well, you're not going home to Mommy till you've taken a screen test somewhere. We came 3,000 miles for this. And as your father, I owe it to you.
You owe it to me?
Yes.
Well, you don't have to pay me now. Let's go home.
No.
Yes.
No.
I want to go home to my Mommy.
Oh, what's the use? So we'll go home. In case it interests you, we may have to walk home.
Walk all the way from California?
Unless I can wire for funds.
Is it far?
Plenty far.
Then we'll be like that poor old soldier, won't we, Dad?
How?
Footsore and weary.
Of the Fanny Bryant Frank Morgan Show is a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.